Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program, the What is Going On Today with Gary and Sarah segment, episode number 2. Before handing the baton over to Sarah, I'd like to acknowledge God, our listeners, and co-host Sarah Jewell. Sarah has a special guest who she will introduce, so it is time for all of us to just sit back and enjoy this powerful discussion. Sarah?
Thank you, Gary, and I hope that you are well and happy. Today I'm going to talk with Jennifer Crenshaw and her experiences and thoughts on The Chosen, a streaming TV series on the 3 years of the ministry of Jesus. Now, this production has also been in theaters, and it can be found on The Chosen app as well as the Angel Studios app. And for those of you who are listening internationally, you might want to search on your search engines, look for The Chosen, and you'll be able to view it. And it's translated, by the way, in many, many, many different languages. So just as a little background, Jennifer and I met as part of the prayer group, PrayForTheChosen.org. We're a number of people, both nationally and internationally, that pray in supplication for The Chosen production to enhance their courage, their strength, and submission to the Holy Spirit's direction. Our prayers are really very important to them. Our prayers are for the entire production of The Chosen, not only the actors, but all of the crew, the writers, the directors. And we give praise and we give thankfulness and we supplication for all to be able to understand and hear the will of the Holy Spirit as they move through this incredible, incredible production. And so this is the reason why I wanted to bring Jennifer onto the show, because she has got such an amazing heart for The Chosen. But not only does she have an amazing heart, she also has some incredible insight. So I'm going to ask her a series of questions and take her answers to heart. I think you're going to find that this is something going to be very important to you as the listener as we move forward in this interview, and then afterwards as you seek out a way to find and seek The Chosen as a way to supplement your life and your interest and your love for Jesus. So, Jennifer, I'm glad you're here. I really appreciate you coming on the show. And I want to say, go ahead.
It's my honor and my joy to be here. And I thank you, Pastor Gary and Sarah, for having me.
Well, we're absolutely delighted, because I think you're going to really give some very important insight to one of God's particular projects. And I believe this project is The Chosen. But tell us, how did you first come across The Chosen?
Well, I had been following a Messianic Jewish singer-songwriter named Joshua Aaron on YouTube and Instagram, and his music is great. I recommend anybody check it out. And back in the summer of 2020, he announced that he was going to be flying to Utah from his home. He lives in Galilee, and he was going to sing O Come Emmanuel for a Christmas special that was being recorded for a TV series called The Chosen. Since I'd never heard of the series, but I certainly was interested in what Joshua was doing, I Googled it. And I found The Shepherd, which is the pilot episode that's a portrayal of Jesus' birth from the perspective of the shepherds. And I watched it, and I was instantly hooked. I just knew this was my program. This was how I would have portrayed this. This was what interested me. This was my way in. And in fact, when The Shepherd ended, through my tears, I clearly heard the voice of Jesus say, "Your life will never be the same." I had no idea what that meant, but I just kind of put it aside, and I immediately binged Jesus by watching all the episodes released up to that point. That was all of season one. And I started telling everybody I knew about this anointed, life-changing series. I'd never seen a TV series that moved me the way The Chosen did. When Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Follow me," I literally had the breath knocked out of me. There were other times when I literally, physically trembled at what was going on and gasped, depending on what was happening in the story. And my body's reaction was so visceral, and it still can be. And I cry a whole lot when I watch it.
Well, you know, Jennifer, I have to totally agree with you. When I first started to come across The Chosen, which was just really through a news feed, and I began to watch the seasons, I was absolutely stunned at the reality of how Jesus and all of the people were being portrayed. They were so remarkable is the word, in their portrayal of the characters that they were playing, that there was no sense of, oh, stilted, platonic type speaking. It was all from the heart. It was all from the spirit. And I was equally grasped by the story. But what motivated you to become involved?
Well, for that, I got to give you a little bit of background. My goal has always been to know the disciples and the other characters in the Bible so well that I don't have to be introduced to them when I see them in heaven, but I would recognize them automatically. But when I retired a couple years back, my prayer became even more fervent because I thought I would have the free time on my hands, and so I thought, you know, I'll have more time. I really want God to help me so that my prayer could be realized. I want to study the Bible even more. I'm a Bible study teacher at my church, and so I know pretty well, but it was like, wow, now we're really going to do it. Well, so I thought. At the same time, though, even though I'd been raised a Christian, I was radically saved during the contemporary Christian music era in the 80s. A few years back, I found myself becoming more and more frustrated with what was happening in our country and in our world and caught up in all of that mess. And I could feel my heart becoming hardened, and I wasn't showing the compassion that I had had for people. And it was affecting the way I was walking with the Lord. It was affecting my relationship with him. I didn't know how he was going to pull it off, but I asked the Lord to restore my compassion toward other people and draw me closer to him. Now, you ask what motivated me to become involved with The Chosen. I really didn't have a choice. God answered the first of my two prayers with The Chosen. This was the way that I was going to find out more about the characters and understand them better and be able to differentiate one from the other. You know, in Bible study, we talk about the feeding of the 5,000, and one of the disciples brought the basket, the little five loaves and two fish to Jesus. And which disciple was that? Well, you know, in my mind, they kind of all run together sometimes. But now I know that it's Andrew. And I can know that that's Andrew because I will have seen it. I know from the series, I now have a picture in my head, and I can keep the character straight better. So that was just awesome. And then he blessed me that not only could I be more familiar with the Bible characters and the Jewish traditions and first century way of life, but this package of knowledge, the package it came in, would involve some of the greatest passions of my art. And those were writing, acting, and music. Series was the very embodiment of one of my core beliefs, only the best for the King of Kings. And these were my favorite stories. They were brilliantly written. They were beautifully scored. They were flawlessly executed. The Chosen was storytelling at its absolute best. So what's not to love, right? I felt a supernatural yearning to be involved. I had to be involved somehow with this show. I had to be a part of this because this was part of God's kingdom.
Well, what's interesting in what you just said is that the Chosen is storytelling at its absolute best. And that's what I personally find amazing with The Chosen, is that not only is it storytelling at its absolute best, but it is scriptural. Dallas Jenkins, who is writer and director, is able, through the Holy Spirit, to bring forth the Bible in such a way that we can identify with it, understand it, and as you said, put the characters together with the apostles in the stories of the New Testament. And, you know, what you also said was it was able to give you the differentiation on characters of the Bible. What I found in alignment with what you're saying is that the pictures I had preconceived in my head were now made viable on the screen. Now, I'm not mistaking those people for the absolute disciples, not at all. But what I am seeing is that they are possible personalities of the apostles, which makes it so much easier for us to identify with their fears, with their concerns, with their jokes, with their anger, and with their ability to even question Jesus as they go through the follow me that Jesus had asked of each of them. So it is really, really powerful what you just said. Now, talking about characters, because who's the most important character in this whole series is Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus. He's astounding. But I want you to give your heartfelt opinion and thoughts on Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus.
Well, Jonathan Rumi is a godsend, not just to me, but to the whole world. Remember my second prayer. I asked the Lord to help me to get my compassion back, take away my hardened heart, help me to care about people again, help me to draw closer to him. Well, just as the chosen was God's answer to my first prayer, Jonathan was God's answer to my second one. I guess it's because I'd spent several years in Turkey as a child. So my Jesus always had long brown hair. He always had Middle Eastern features. And the accent was part of what I always heard when I heard Jesus speak. So when at the end of episode one of season one, when Jesus shows up, it was like, oh, hey, because he looked and sounded like the Jesus I had known and loved my whole life. Jonathan as Jesus looks and sounds exactly like the Jesus I'd always known. Then as I started to research, because I was so enamored of The Chosen and I wanted to know everything about it, what were they doing, who were these people, what was this really all, how was this all happening? And I started researching and was looking into the cast and crew, and I discovered that Jonathan is Catholic, which I am not, and he'd been prompted by God back at the beginning of COVID, at the beginning of the lockdown, to go onto his public Facebook page and to start an hour of prayer where open to the public, anybody could come and join and listen, and he would pray. I started watching these sessions, and once again, my life was changed forever. Jonathan shared with us the most beautiful Catholic prayers and traditions while folks of all denominations came on and joined. Started with a few and grew up to hundreds. He did that on Facebook for, I believe, 40 days. Then he took a couple weeks. The Lord told him to stop, and then he took a couple weeks, and then he went on to Instagram and did the same thing. He also spent a lot of time on sites, Catholify and different ones, praying the rosary. But anyway, he would share these prayers that, as he said, came in a Catholic container. And because of our love for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we could all come together non-denominationally. He urged us to leave our denominations at the door. Immediately, in the very first few minutes of the very first broadcast that he did, I knew that God was using Jonathan to answer my second prayer. My compassion, my reverence for God in the subsequent months were restored. So it was the chosen that introduced me to Jonathan, who taught me the benefits of repetitive prayer and what it means to surrender, how to practice humility and the beauty of God's unconditional love and divine mercy for his children. Through Jonathan, I learned the precious gift of adoration, where you just spend time with God. You don't have to ask for anything. You just spend time with him, just adore him. both on and off screen. Jonathan is such a wonderful role model, and he's taught me so much. I call him my rabbi. I'm also the proud owner of probably 20 or so sets of rosary beads, even though I'm not Catholic. But it was such a change in my faith, my prayer life, everything. It was so centered now, because these prayers were just so beautiful, and they were what I had been missing, and the understanding that we need to take care of each other, and that I have to have a compassionate heart, because the person I'm talking to is also a child of the living God, was created by him and has the opportunity to choose him. And so this was the answer to my prayer.
Amen, amen. Jonathan Rumi does an exceptional, incredible job playing Jesus. Just his facial expressions has an incredible amount of depth and penetration. I think that what he has done in the role has brought a reality to Jesus. Again, it's not that preconceived notion, picture in our head of Jesus. He brings Jesus to life, and the amount of compassion and love and understanding, yet strength he brings in the character is astounding. And I thoroughly and heartily encourage people, if they have the opportunity, you must see this TV series, The Chosen. It's going to impact you so dramatically about how you perceive Jesus. But let's move on not only from Jesus, but let's move on to the rest of the casting, which is astoundingly fantastic. What's your opinion on the casting in general?
Oh, it's perfection, just perfection. If you listen to Jonathan's testimony, and I would encourage your listeners to do that, you'll discover that in many ways God created Jonathan to portray this role, to portray his beloved son to the world. Once I saw firsthand Jonathan's passion, faith, and integrity, it was not a surprise to me why God chose him. His performance is surreal. You know, the series is in its third season. We're just wrapping up the third season now. And at the beginning, I knew that his performance was exceptional. I knew that it was supernatural. I knew certainly that it was changing my life and that God was using him so dramatically to change my life. But as I was watching the first couple of episodes of season three, it just came over me that this was out of this world. This is not a series made by hands, as I call it sometimes. It is so supernaturally anointed and just breathtaking. And every scene that he's in, to me, it's funny but it's a blessing, because when I see him on the screen, it's Jesus. That's Jesus speaking to me. When Jesus forgives Mary Magdalene, that's Jesus speaking to me. When Jesus is tired or sad or whatever, my heart just goes out and I'm watching Jesus. And it's so very personal to me. And yet, I've been blessed to meet Jonathan a few times, and there's no doubt about it. The anointing of God is all over him. You can literally feel it when he's in the room. But when I watch the broadcast as himself, he's Jonathan. But to me personally, Jonathan is a conduit to God, to Jesus, because he was the answer to my prayer. And so it's a beautiful thing, and I absolutely agree and encourage everybody to watch this. I'm confident it will change your life. That's what I tell people all the time. Watch The Chosen. It will change your life. Now, for the rest
and
of the cast...
And what do you think of the rest of the cast? Yeah.
I was going to say, they're the best of the best. And would you believe that a whole bunch of them, many of them, were ready to give up acting? They had moved back in with their parents. They had told their agents not to even set them up for auditions, all these things. And yet, then they got the call for The Chosen, and that's God, right? God had other plans for them. I personally believe that every single member of the cast and crew was handpicked by God. And I have no trouble believing that since these actors were chosen by him, see what I did there? Chosen. These guys and gals are very close in personal, physical appearance, in their temperament, in their personalities, to the actual biblical characters they're portraying. Why wouldn't they be? So
now, you've met some of these people in person. What were they like?
Oh, just beautiful people, every single one. Spent 2 days in Texas back in June on the set, and it was just remarkable. Every single person there, from Dallas to the support staff, they were beautiful, caring folks. There was no discord. There was no difficulty. There were no divas. It was just the most beautiful slice of heaven to be there with these people. They're unbelievable, just unbelievably talented. And again, I believed handpicked by God. Now, in November, I was blessed beyond belief to meet some of them at the season 3 premiere that was held in Atlanta. And again, I mean, these incredible people. Tyler Thompson, for example, he's one of the brilliant writers. He's a writer on this incredible international program that's watched by millions of people. And yet, when my friend Connie and I were trying to figure out how to take a selfie that would include all three of us, he just took the time to stop and show us how to do it. And we figured it all out together, and it was like, oh, my gosh, this guy, he's like not only a genius, he's an international guy, and here he's helping us. You know, it was crazy. Noah James, who plays Andrew, oh, my gosh, he was just walking on air. He was so tickled to be there. They all were. They are just truly, when you hear them speak in interviews, they truly are a family. They just love and support each other. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
I understand that one of the cast members is one of your acting coaches, right?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. One of the greatest blessings to come out of The Chosen is my friendship with the actor who plays our favorite Roman, Primi Ordine, Kirk B. R. Waller. If you already watched The Chosen, you probably are already in love with his character. I know that he's a real fan favorite. I have been blessed to be studying acting with him for more than a year now, and he has become one of my dearest friends. He's an outstanding actor, as you can tell from the series, and one of the most beautiful people you'd ever want to meet. He's a caring mentor. God has blessed him with the most generous teacher's heart, and he's so willing to share what he's learned about the craft of acting with others in all stages of their acting careers. I strongly encourage folks, if you have any interest in becoming an actor as a career, I strongly encourage you to check out actorclass.com, and it's actorclass, spelled with a K, actorclass.com, just for a funny story and a bit of trivia. If any of y'all remember the American TV series NYPD Blue, about obviously the NYPD Blue police department, Kirk played the punk who shot and killed Andy Sipowicz's son, Andy Jr., on the show. But just so you know, I have forgiven him.
Well, tell me this. Dallas Jenkins is writer and director. And can you tell us how he weaves plausibility of events and character creation, particularly where the Bible is silent, to complement actual scripture and biblical events?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. First, I have to give a caveat, and you'll see it at the beginning of the first episode that says The Chosen is not a substitute for the Bible. And folks need to understand that. We love The Chosen because it points us to the Bible. It inspires people to see what's on the stage, on the screen, and then say, I want to know more about that. Was that in the Bible? What's in the Bible? What's not in the Bible? What Dallas Jenkins, Ryan Swanson, and Tyler Thompson, the three genius writers, have done is to fill in the blanks where Scripture may not cover something. For example, you know, a situation is going on, and it just tells you they left, and then it tells you they came back. Okay, but what happened in between? And what they do is they look at plausible backstories that will support what is documented in the Bible. A major hallmark of this series is how they portray the humanity of Jesus. Typically, because of time constraints, these shows, which are typically mini-series or a movie, are very limited in what they can cover, and so they tend to focus on his divinity. And that's sometimes where you can get the character who is more stoic and, you know, unapproachable and a little bit one-dimensional. But because The Chosen is a multi-season series, they have the luxury of time. They can cover both his divinity and his humanity. And, you know, in Hebrews 4:14 says that we have a great high priest that's passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So in this series, we get to see this. Jesus came and he experienced what we experience so that he could relate to us, so that we could speak a common language, if you will. So in the series, we see Jesus build fires, he prepares his food, he cries, he laughs, he tends a wound on his arm, he gets tired, he's angry, he's frustrated, but he laughs and plays games and even dances in the wedding, at the wedding of Cana. And he has the most awesome sense of humor, which, of course, I'm sure Jesus had to have. And it's this humanity that's portrayed so beautifully and makes him relatable. But the series isn't just about Jesus. For example, remember in the Gospels that Jesus sent the disciples out two by two to preach the gospel to the Jews in the area. And the Bible tells us that they went out and then they returned joyful. But really? Was every moment joyful? Jesus was asking these regular guys to go out without him and heal, to preach, cast out demons, but they couldn't take any food or money with them? How would any of us react to that news?
You know, let me interject for a minute. I thought that was pretty amazing, particularly when they shrugged their shoulders and said, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. Jesus never told us. Yet they had the strength and the courage to go ahead and do it. And they did a fantastic job. And so I often think of us who are told to go out and do things, but we're really not sure if we can do them, if we have the talent to do it, you know, on behalf of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit instills himself in us and leads us. So that particular moment of going out two by two, for me personally, was so gratifying because it showed me the humility and the concern and the worry and even the conflict that the apostles had, but they went ahead and they did it, and they did a terrific job.
Absolutely, and it totally changed the way I read that scene in the Bible, because prior to The Chosen, every time I read that scene, okay, he sent them out to preach two by two. I never really thought about how they would react to that. I just assumed that if they, you know, they must have been ready or he wouldn't have sent them, and I guess they were happy about this. But, boy, I would have had a tough time with it, you know. But in watching The Chosen, I was, no, they probably did have a tough time with it. They would have reacted the same way you or I would. But, yes, they went anyway. And another,
well, tell us about your – oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say one more example is Matthew. If you look, what would possibly lead – a wealthy tax collector who's protected by the Romans, what on earth would cause him to give up everything and follow some itinerant preacher? You know, it makes no sense. But if we can fill in some plausible backstory, now it becomes a real full story that helps us to understand better just what was actually probably going on.
And interestingly enough, how the other disciples initially treated him as a tax collector and as a buddy of the Romans, and how they reacted to him. So that was also very, very powerful, seeing the disciples themselves wrestling with their new relationship with Matthew, who was a tax collector. But tell us about your participation in the five feeding of the 5,000. That was a fascinating scene.
I've never been so hot. I've never been so tired, and I've never been so blessed. And I'd do it again in a heartbeat. Since one of the key elements of The Chosen is its authenticity, the creator, Dallas Jenkins, didn't want to resort to computer-generated images for crowds. He wanted it to be real people standing out in a field, and the camera would film the scene. So he decided in season two, and then he did it again in season three, that as a reward to the supporters and the fans, he put out a call for volunteer background actors and folks who wanted to come and pay their own expenses, create their own costumes, and come to Texas to participate in the filming of the key scenes. Now, they did the Sermon on the Mount in season two, and in season three, which is the one I was blessed to attend, we were doing the filming of the feeding of the 5,000, which we all know is really 5,000 men and all their wives and families. But Dallas invited 12,000 volunteers to come for a week in June to Texas, and this was last year. Filming took place in an open field. We provided our own costumes. Temperatures were scorching, more than 100 degrees every day. And as before, we would pay our own way, and this was also when the COVID restrictions and testing were still required. When the feeding of the 5,000 was first announced, when Dallas announced it, God said, "You're going." Okay. Well, there was just a few hurdles to overcome. One was my fear of flying. I hadn't been on an airplane in 25 years, and it cost money, and I wasn't very handy with a sewing machine. But this was for The Chosen. Like I said, I had to be there. So I went. And
well,
God,
Kelly did. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, God made a way. He provided everything I needed. And he even sent me a traveling companion. Another member of the Pray for the Chosen team is my friend Connie, who went to the Feeding of the 5,000 with me. She also went to the premiere in Atlanta with me. It's incredible how we met, because just a few days after Dallas made the announcement, I met Connie for the first time. Where did I meet her? At an event where Jonathan Rumi was the keynote speaker. That's God.
That's definitely God. Well, tell me this. How did The Chosen change your life?
Oh, okay. Could I tell you a few things more about the 5,000?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to talk about how amazing The Chosen fans are. First of all, it was really cool as an actress in training, because I got to see firsthand what Kirk had been teaching me about what the set is like and those kinds of things. But we were out there in the middle of the field. We had 16, 17-hour days. We were out there for 2 days. Had to drink a lot of fluids, take a lot of electrolytes just to stay alive, but we did it. But two things that were just amazing and were life-changing for me as well. We were out in the field, and Jesus and his disciples were handing out the bread and the fish, right? And Judas, who's played by Luke Dimion, he was distributing bread in our immediate area. And he was just out of reach, so that he threw some bread to some people around me, but it didn't quite reach me. And I made some dumb comment, you know, about, I didn't get some, you know, or, oh, I was too far away, whatever. And not thinking anything of it. And the lady, two people over from me, literally took her piece of bread that she had gotten from Judas, broke it in half, and gave me half of her piece. And I just thought, that was the most beautiful, unselfish thing to do. And I will always and forever remember that. And then the other was the night shoot, when it was the very end of the filming days, and it was the night shoot. It was pitch black, but the stars were out. There was a beautiful moon. Finally, the sun wasn't trying to kill us. Crickets were chirping, and Dallas announced that Jonathan was going to be praying the Our Father in first century Aramaic to close out the night. As I sat there just sobbing and weeping as he prayed in his Jesus outfit, I just kept thinking, this is what heaven is like. It was the most remarkable thing. And I will never forget that moment. It was really, really beautiful.
Oh, that's amazing.
All right.
Truly amazing.
So now, thank you for that extra time. How the Chosen changed my life in every way conceivable. In every single way. When I knew what our topic of discussion was going to be, I actually started writing down a list of how it's changed my life, and it just goes forever. God's using the Chosen like a refiner's fire to change me into an apostle that he can use to further his kingdom. He's also showing me through the Chosen what my purpose is for being here. Maybe I'm a cautionary tale. Maybe I'm an encourager, an evangelist, an intercessor, all of the above, not sure. Because of the Chosen, my prayer life is so much richer than it used to be. I'm blessed to be counted among amazing prayer warriors who are faithful to meet on a regular basis to pray for our world, for each other, and, of course, the Chosen. All of my life experiences, it turns out, have prepared me for this season in my life with the Chosen. Because of the Chosen, I'm doing and saying things I never thought I'd say or do. I pray with folks in stores and parking lots. And I have a wonderful wardrobe full of Chosen T-shirts, too. Because of the Chosen and my interaction with the cast and the crew, I'm a better person, a better friend, a better Bible study teacher, a better colleague, better everything. And I've developed priceless lifelong friendships with beautiful people like you, Miss Sarah.
No, thank you.
Also, because of the Chosen, I'm using, my background is in technical writing and editing, and I've been using that, even though I retired from my profession, I'm using it now for his kingdom. I just been working on several with businesses and ministries, updating the content of their websites. I was blessed to edit the new Beyond the Words devotional book by Pastor Brandon Robbins. He does wonderful videos on YouTube called The Chosen Explained, where he gives the Jewish and first century context. It's just beautiful. Because of The Chosen, I'm pursuing a passion I thought I'd never, actually I'd even kind of forgotten that I had, which was the acting, and I'm raring to go back and have an opportunity to be a background actor on The Chosen again one day. Because it's Chosen, I'm here sharing my story with you all. And basically the bottom line is, because of The Chosen, to borrow Mary Magdalene's line from Season 1, Episode 2, I was one way, but now I'm completely different. And what happened in between was him. God is using this beautiful, anointed labor of love called The Chosen to answer my prayers and transform my life and my relationship with him in ways exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think.
Jennifer, thank you so much for all that fabulous information. I'm hoping that our listeners will find it very useful, will take it to heart. And again, I encourage everyone, no matter where you live, no matter what country you live in, seek out The Chosen. You can find it on The Chosen app. You can also find it on the Angel Studios app. But there are a variety of platforms out there where you can find The Chosen. And in many cases, you'll be able to find The Chosen even in your own language. This is very important. I agree totally with Jennifer. It has changed my life. It has made me more aware of the humanity of Jesus and the humanity of his disciples. And equally important, it has brought the stories, biblical stories,
to life and the scripture that is actually used, it has an impact that I might not necessarily get that total impact without seeing maybe a facial expression of Jesus or a facial expression of one of the disciples, and it burns it into your heart of how it really was in those days and how we can relate to it, because those people are just like we are. We're all human. They were all human. And so although we read the Bible and we find it to be so edifying, this business of actually being able to engage with people in a flesh-like manner, we can see that in The Chosen. So again, Jennifer, I thank you so much. I am so grateful that you were on this call. This is so terrifically important. And I pray that everybody within listening distance will take your words to heart. And I thank you once again. And I pray in Jesus' name that his will be done by bringing the gospel out to all the ends of the world. Thank
Absolutely.
You, Jennifer. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And
it's such a joy to be here with you.
Oh, great. Super duper. Thank you, Jennifer. And on behalf of Gary.